Blog Talk Radio.
I am so in love with that intro. I cannot thank my friend Cliff Hillis enough for creating that for me and for my show. Hi, this is Jennifer Vanderslice, and you're listening to I Saw the Beatles. This is episode 4, and today's special guest is Sandy Ann Borowski. Hi, Sandy. How are you doing?
Hi, Jen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So, let's see. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Sandy?
Well, I'm an older fan. I'm a first-generation fan. I'm 66. I had the pleasure of seeing them at Shea in 1966, August 23rd. I was 12 years old.
What day of the week was that? Do you know? I don't remember.
Middle of the week.
Really? Yeah, they did that. It was a Tuesday. Wow, Tuesday.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew it was the middle of the week.
Yeah, but I finally realized it was August. You know, a couple people have been to these concerts, and I kept saying, why on a Thursday? Why on a Tuesday? And I guess there was no school. It was summertime.
Could be.
So,
I have no idea.
So you were 12 years old. That was pretty young to be hauling off to a concert, big concert at Shea Stadium. Why don't you tell us about that? How did you get
there? Well, I was supposed to go in 65. I actually had tickets for Shea in 65, courtesy of a friend of mine from the radio station in Troy, New York, called WTRY. But unfortunately for me, which is my luck, I ended up in the hospital. So I couldn't go.
My.
I cried the whole night of the concert.
Oh, my.
So when 66 rolled around, I won again. I really don't know if I won or rather, you know, my friend just said, hey, you know, just give her the ticket. But anyway, I went. And I was supposed to meet the guys, but again, my luck, I lost my friend, the disc jockey. I lost him at Shea Stadium. It's just, there's so many buses and I just lost them. But we had not really nosebleed seats, but I mean, you could see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could see these four little dots down in the bottom. And I remember thinking to I've always been a Ringo fan since, you know, day one. And all I could think of was, oh my God, I'm breathing the same air. I know.
Were you inhaling deeply?
Yes. In between screams.
Oh, so you were one of those screaming. So could you hear them?
Oh,
up
yeah.
There?
You could. I actually have a notebook that I wrote down exactly all the songs they sang, the order they sang it in, my feelings on the bus, you know, the coming out of the bus, the whole nine yards. And I remember I bought brand new hot pink, and I'm talking hot pink, outfit, thinking they would see me.
Among
whatever.
The 44,000 fans, they were going to see that hot pink dot.
Exactly. Come on, work with me.
Hey, I think we've all done it, gone to a concert and worn something special thinking, they're going to see me.
Yeah.
You know, or my
lighter.
Yeah,
and you're 12 years old.
When I flick my Bic, you know, of course, kids nowadays.
They're
going to
know it's you.
They're going to see my Bic out of the thousands of Bic lighters. And call
exactly.
me backstage to go on tour with them, you know, on their bus. Yeah, I get it. So hot pink outfit, huh? So you're up in the nosebleed seats. Who are you with?
I don't remember her name. Isn't that terrible? It was some girl that I sat next to on the bus because the bus left from Troy, New York, which is kind of like the next city over for me. And we all had to be in front of the radio station at a certain time. And I walked over, I got on the bus, and then we all went. So I don't
and
remember
parents,
her name.
Your parents were okay with this.
Well, because they knew them. They knew the disc jockey that, you know, and he had said to them, he was a very good friend of my father's. And he said, don't worry about it. I got her. You know, I was like, don't, nothing's going to happen to her.
Wow.
You know, she's safe.
You know,
don't worry about it.
I don't know that my parents would have trusted me at 12 years old or anybody else for me to get on a bus, but times were different in 1966.
Yeah.
So did you end up with laryngitis? What happened?
I did end up with laryngitis, totally. And then after everybody was on the bus, they were, you know, they had to do a head count, make sure, you know, we have everybody. And
right.
One girl came on the bus and she had this oil painting. And I looked, I said, where did you get that? She goes, oh, the guy down there. And I'm like, I have to get it. So I get out of the bus and I run. And the bus driver said to me, we're leaving. I said, no, you're not. You're waiting right here for me. I have balls even at age 12. I got off the bus, fell in a pool of oil in my hot pink pants, got the oil painting and brought and got back on the bus. And everybody's like, I want to go get one. And the bus driver's going, no, no, that's it. It's done. It's over. We got to go.
Do you still have the toy?
Oh, yep. I came home, and the next day, my mother, not the next day, a couple of days later, my mother framed it for me. And actually, my cousin got married on the 27th. I was so excited, even on the 27th, when she got married, that I couldn't come down from my high from seeing the Beatles. I was more excited about the Beatles than I was being in her wedding.
Oh, you were in the wedding? In the wedding party?
I was in the wedding, and I still was like, oh, my God, you really saw the Beatles. I can't believe I saw the Beatles. And she's like, shut up, you're up.
It's my wedding day.
It's my wedding day. Were you just like, shut up? And I'm like, but I can't. And she's like, oh, help me.
So you're 12 years old. You've got your hot pink outfit. How many hours?
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say hours. I don't know. But how long did it take you to prep that morning? You know, makeup, hair, getting ready.
Oh, didn't do makeup. You're 12 years old. I still don't do makeup, and I'm 66.
good for you.
I think I just washed my face, brushed my hair, my teeth, my hair. You know, did my hair and ran out the door.
Okay, so
that's
you weren't
what you
one
did
of those.
Back then.
Yeah, you didn't have to put up your hair in the big beehive and the, you know, get it colored. So you weren't one of the older teens, like the older teens who were, you know, turning into, you know, looking for their, you know, what is it, Brigitte Bardot look for John?
Oh, no.
You were still 12.
No.
You were 12 years old.
I was still 12. I mean, my hair is natural curly. All I do is shake my head and it just falls right into place. So, and I had on white sneakers. So, I mean, you know, I mean, I had my outfit all laid out.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my white sneakers. I still have the shoelaces. Don't judge me. but I don't have the outfit, but I have the shoelaces and I have the notebook. And
have you ever thought about publishing the notebook?
Nah. Nah, because it's really, it's like nothing. It's like a bloggy thing, you know. It's maybe one day I'll get around to doing that.
Yeah, but, people might like to read your story because people are going to be interested in hearing this story. So maybe there's a place where you could publish it sometime.
You know,
transcribe it and then publish it. As long as we're on that topic, you know, you have a Beatles Facebook group, right, that you created?
Yes, I do. It's called For Beatle Fans, and it's actually it's kissing 6,000 people now, which actually blows me away. It's been going for 10 years now.
Wow.
And
you actually, not any Beatles-related people, but you have some famous people who are in that group, don't you?
Yeah. We just don't tout them and, you know, make a big to-do
right.
about it because
even famous people have joined your Facebook group to talk and hear about the Beatles and relate with other people, right?
Yes, which I do appreciate. Like a lot of times they won't say anything unless someone's asked them a question, which I get. They're probably hammered from everybody. But if you
right.
ask
well, that's why
any
we're not,
of them
we're
a question
– Yeah, we're not gonna
gonna
mention their names. I mean, it's not fair to them.
No.
I'm not gonna have people rushing over to your group just to find famous people. But, you know, just to say that, you know, your group is that popular that, you know,
mm-hmm.
that there's a couple people who would be recognized on the street if they, you know, and stuff like that.
Yep.
So, yeah, so you could always, you know, anybody listening to this can go to Facebook.com and look up the group for Beatles fans. It's plural, right?
Right? And it,
Beatles fans?
It's, yeah, yeah. And it's capital F-O-R-E because somebody, we had the name Beatle fans for years. And then somebody made another group and they made it for, they made the same exact name. So I'm like, okay, so I got to do something different because I didn't want, I wanted the groups, you know, I mean, I was there 10 years. So I just went four and I just made it all caps. I'm like, well, there you go. Now I'm going to stick out.
Yeah, there you go. So let's talk about what you've been doing since that, that, you know, wonderful night. It must, you know, I guess you carry that, that, experience with you now for all these years, huh? For how many is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, 54 years. 54
yeah,
years
I guess,
ago. I still have the oil pit painting.
Is it like yesterday? Do you remember it like yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when Paul sang yesterday, the whole stadium quieted it down. You could actually hear him sing, which blew me away because, like, you know, you couldn't hear. I mean, you knew because you could hear the, the couple of the notes and you knew it was like Honey Don't. But, you know, until yesterday,
better,
you couldn't hear anything.
Was it that they had a better PA system, I think, in 66 than the earlier years? Was that, am I wrong there?
They did, but I think that, that it was still. There's so many people and everybody was screaming. I know they said that, I always say my Shay, wasn't sold out because Sid had lost the tickets.
Yeah,
now,
somebody
that's
misplaced
true
them
or not,
in like a
I don't know.
Or cigar box.
Yeah.
They found, later found 15,000 tickets or something. Well, let's move on. We've got like 3 minutes. So
okay.
I know there's other things I just have to talk to you about. So as you said, you're a huge Ringo fan, huge Ringo fan. How many times have you seen him?
We're kissing 20.
Yeah, and but you did miss him this past year. Well,
I missed him this time in Bethel because I had just come out of the hospital. I had my knee replaced, and then for good measures, I broke my ankle, so I couldn't drive, and I couldn't get to Bethel, and I was going to actually stretch limo down, and I talked to a mutual friend of ours who was down there, and she's like, "Don't come, it's raining." And I can't even be with you to protect you, to help you to your seat. So you're on your own. I'm thinking,
in
the rain, in a boot. Yeah, no, I can't.
No.
So I lost the ticket.
You lost the ticket. And trying to think, you haven't yet met Ringo, right?
No, but he sang to me. Does that count?
Yes, that counts. Tell everybody about
all right,
that.
Then. Well, I had my hip replaced. Yeah, I think it was my hip. And I had a front row seat.
So you only see Ringo. You only see Ringo after surgery. Is that what we're?
It seems that way, doesn't it? I had my hip replaced, and I had front row seats, and he was literally in Albany, which means I can walk to it. That's how close he is. And I had called to see if they had any handicap left, and they were like, "No, you know, it's all done." And I went through the whole situation as to what happened. She goes, "Give me a couple of days. Let me call you back." So she did. Just the day before I left rehab, and she said to me, "All right, I got you in, but your knees come in a wheelchair." Well, nobody had a wheelchair. We found one. So I get down there, and this man, Steve, don't ask me his last name, he's my bodyguard for the night. So he pulls me down to the front, and all of a sudden the stage door opens. I'm seeing everybody come out and waving to me, and, you know, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Why are all these people waving to me? I'm thinking, it must be the drugs, because I had taken a pain pill before I left.
Oh, I thought you meant them taking drugs, but that's okay. Continue
no,
on.
No, me taking drugs. I thought
the
it was
because
I had taken
correct.
A pain pill.
Pain pills. You were taking pain pills.
Prescribed
drugs.
And I,
prescribed
drugs. Yes. Oh, yes. Please prescribe drugs. Cut me right from the hospital. And I kept thinking, why are they coming out and talking? Why are they all waving at me? But, you know, I couldn't put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
It made like no sense to me. So somebody took my picture and I went, well, why did you do that? And he's like, well, Rich wants to know what you look like. I'm like, wait, what? I'm thinking, okay, now I'm really gone. I'm like, what? He goes, he wants to know what you look like. I'm like, oh, whatever. So I don't know if you've ever been to Wisconsin before, but he leaves and comes back. He goes out and he gets like a towel and he puts it around his neck or he changes his shirt, one or the other. He comes back out and he sings again. Well, when he came back out again, next thing you know, they're pulling my wheelchair down to the front. So I'm literally right at the stage. I mean, you know, I can't get any closer. I can't get up out of this chair. And he comes over and he's standing in front of me and he's singing to me. So I'm thinking, what the? So the next day, I called
what
the lady and I was.
What did he sing? We have to.
I can't remember. I was so.
Oh, no.
I kicked myself.
Maybe somewhere there's video. Someone has a took.
There must be a video somewhere. I have to just find it. But I called the lady the next day to thank her, you know, for being so nice to me. And I said, you know, and I said it seemed like he was singing to me. And she started laughing. She's like, he was looking for you. I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, I told him what happened to you. And he was like, I got to meet her. I want to, you know, I got to do something. He goes, so that was what he wanted to do. He wanted to sing to you. So that's my claim to fame. Ringo
sang to me. That's great. As I said, we'll have to do a search and see if we can find some film of him singing to you. So I can imagine you were too in shock to remember what in the
world.
Yeah,
I was just like, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept thinking it was, even when my husband picked me up, I said, you know, oh, you're not going to believe what happened. Isn't that funny? He's like, oh, how many pain pills did you take before you left?
leave it to the husband to bring you down. Your story. Our time is getting very short here. Your story your love of Ringo. No, that's fine. That's fine. We got to get this story out. So your story of your love of the Beatles doesn't stop with you know, seeing them at Shea and going to Ringo concerts and starting, you know, Facebook groups. How many times have you been to Liverpool?
4.
Wow.
Total. And the last time was for 3 weeks.
Wow. And was that the longest time you've spent there?
The last time over was the longest I've spent there, yes. Because it was three weeks in Liverpool, 1 week in London.
Wow. And you wrote a book about your experience, didn't you? Or one of your times there.
Yeah, I did. It's called Exploring Fab Four Landmarks. It is out by Covenant Books. It makes me happy. And you can pick it up at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com.
And just to clarify, that would be Exploring Fab Four Landmarks by Sandy A. Borofsky. And as you said, just look it up on Amazon.com. Sandy, thank you so much for telling us your story of how you got to see the Beatles, unlike those of us who are just, as the song says, born too late. Well, that wraps up episode 4. Thank you for listening in and check us out next week. Thank you, Sandy.
Well, thank you for having me, Jen. It was a pleasure.
Always. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.